This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Speaking of Inside the Clubhouse, the host of Inside the Clubhouse is Bruce Levine. He now joins us here on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Bruce, thanks for joining us. It was an interesting story that was put out earlier today about security bollards and security around Wrigley Field being stepped up. What's the reason behind that?
Well, our breaking news is that the Chicago Cubs will be named the recipient of the 2027 All-Star Game after what you talked about, Lawrence, here happening. And that is the final thing that the Chicago Cubs needed to do for Major League Baseball and Major League Baseball security, is to get these concrete bollards, which are going to cost the Cubs, the city of Chicago, and the state of Illinois $30 million to put up to be able to be the host and have a secure what Major League Baseball and their security feels is a secure ballpark for an event like the All-Star Game.
Breaking news on the Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories.
Well, that's pretty exciting, Bruce. The All-Star Game at Wrigley Field in 2027, according to our Bruce Levine. When a ballpark is renovated, oftentimes the owners, especially if it's in a sizable market, if the owners have put in a lot of their own money, which the Cubs did, the owners get rewarded with an All-Star Game. We've seen that play out around the league. Is this something that would have happened earlier had the security issue not been in place, perhaps?
No question. Maybe 10 years ago. Wow. You know, when we're talking about, you know, this thing getting done, when was the final part? Was it 2018, 19, when Wrigley was finally rehabbed totally and the $1 billion was used to do that with the Ricketts family? I think it was right around there. But the reality is that they've been having this discussion all along. But it also took Mayor Johnson to go ahead and push this forward. So the partnership between Mayor Johnson and the city and the Chicago Cubs is a great one, and it's a little different than it was when the last two mayors were there. It was, you know, they were supportive, but not to the point where Mayor Johnson is, and obviously the governor has stepped up as well. So the $30 million is proposed, and it hopefully will be pushed through. It was proposed by Alderman Bennett Lawson of the 44th Ward, and as soon as that's up, you know, again, Major League Baseball likes to award the All-Star Games 2 years in advance. So this summer, we will hear that the Cubs are going to get the 2027 All-Star Game sometime around the All-Star Game or a little bit before. So people should understand that this is news. They're getting it. They haven't gotten it officially on the record yet. So we'll let Major League Baseball do that sometime this summer. But the news is a great one for the Chicago guys, because it can mean anywhere from $250 to $300 million in revenue by hosting the All-Star Game and All-Star Week here in Chicago. And that is something that I know the mayor is looking forward to as well.
So the 1060 project to restore Wrigley Field began in 2014, was announced officially complete in November of 2019. So that is a five-year project, and this announcement comes almost 6 years after the completion of it. Yeah, that All-Star Week, Lawrence, that means Home Run Derby's here, and there's like a whole festival, a traveling festival that comes along with the All-Star Game.
There is also the concern that there is no All-Star Game in 2027.
Right. So that's a great interesting thing that you bring up, and I asked that question to some of my sources, and they do not have the answer of whether or not, if 2027 is canceled like we've been hearing because of a possible lockout strike, where that game would go. Would it go automatically to 2028? But again, as I told you before, they would like to give the All-Star Game 2 years in advance for cities. So next summer, the 2028 game would want to be awarded, but coming up after next summer is December 1st, when the contract between the Players Association and Major League Baseball ends, and a new CBA will begin, hopefully before that, but we know better, don't we? Because that never happens.
What a nightmare news cycle that's going to be, Bruce. And it's like, I could hear them saying, we're not going to announce a 2028 All-Star Game just yet. We're going to wait on that until we start talking about the CBA. That's too bad. But trying to figure out, so are we looking at, because we've seen the temporary bollards that are there, the stuff that they have,
right,
that raises up on Waveland and on mm-hmm. Sheffield. Are we also talking about Addison and Clark
yes.
being cut off in full?
So Clark is not being talked about because it's considered wide enough. But according to Fran Spielman, who broke the story about the bollards today in the Sun-Times, Addison Street will be widened. Now, if you've driven down Addison next to the ballpark, there's not much space to widen. So I don't necessarily know how that's going to be done, because, you know, when they added the new casino in there, some space was eaten up, sidewalk space was eaten up. So I don't know how that'll be done, but that's a part of the plan to putting, as well as putting in the new bollards. That's a part of it.
This is really interesting. We appreciate you bringing it to us, Bruce, and giving us the first crack at this information. While we've been discussing this, we were having a discussion before you jumped on that we wanted your opinion on, if you don't mind. We were talking about the front office of the Cubs and some of the moves that they've made. And there was that survey that had the Cubs not in the top 20 of teams in front offices, and they were Carter was very magnanimous when he came on the Score and talked a little bit about it. Two of the moves Spiegs highlighted, and that's Matthew Boyd and Colin Ray. You've seen these guys interact with everyone in the organization. You've seen them pitch. What type of lift have those two guys given this organization this year?
Well, tremendous, because you know, again, you guys know this because you have people like myself, and you guys are in those clubhouses as well. They bring a tremendous amount of professionalism and support from the other places they've been. And that's all that is a part of Jed Hoyer, Carter Hawkins, but never think that it's not Craig Counsell and his imprint on the front office as well. They have included Craig Counsell in on all of these things in the winter time, and Colin Ray coming here was directly connected to his relationship with Craig Counsell. So those are the type of people, you know, you bring in, you know, great players outstanding players, but also really good players like these pitchers. And their makeup makes you have just a little bit better type of situation. I'll just allude to one more thing before you guys let me go, and that is, Pete Crow Armstrong talked a lot about, you know, Justin Turner and his impact on him as far as in-game advice one day a week ago that, hey, you have three hits, but don't quit now, okay? Keep your focus. You know, you need to have that focus each and every at-bat. And he wanted to let us in the media know how essential guys like Turner are to the team and how important they are as far as their makeup and what they bring, hopefully with the things they bring on the field as well.
Bruce, thanks so much for the breaking news. We appreciate it. The Cubs will host the 2027 All-Star Game, according to our guy, Bruce Levine. It's awesome stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Ron Coomer on deck.
And Ronnie's been red hot. He's been in the zone.
Ron Coomer.
Let's see if the Cubs can respond.
We're helping him out.
Coomer drives one into right center field. Long run, Pierre. Pierre dives, misses it. It bounces all the way to the wall.
That's a nice knock for the old hometown boy, isn't it?
Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
What a ball game. The wait is over. Right? It is over. The Cubs, a World Series champion. How does that sound, partner?
1999 American League All-Star.
From the American League All-Stars, infielder Ron Coomer.
The Coom Dog with Mully and Haw.
Woohoo!
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, he's one of God's great men, and it's always a joy to talk to Ron Coomer. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, Ron. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Mikey, David, Dust. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well.
We are living the dream, and we can't wait for Monday. We get to look at the standings for the first time. Woohoo! I wonder how everyone's doing.
Yes. Doing good. Yes, doing good. Yeah.
But, Coom, as we get to the Memorial Day milepost in the Major League Baseball season, and you look at the Cubs 10 games over 500, what do you think is the biggest reason they're the 10 games over 500, or what's the biggest surprise in your mind?
Well, that's a good question. Biggest reason, I would say, just off the top of my head, I would say the starting pitching. Even though they've had some issues, you know, with health, I think the guys that have stepped up have really stepped up and allowed the Cubs to stay in ball games. You know, I think Boyd and Ray in particular, you know, and there are other guys that were going to be in the rotation, but Boyd's new. Colin Ray stepping in, and those guys have, you know, and the rest of the guys have done their job. But I really believe maybe the starting pitching stands out, that, you know, you lose your one and two, and things have continued on. You know, you haven't had a big fall off. So I really think they have, you know, you always say next guy up. Well, they've done that, actually. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, we're kind of talking about it just generally this morning, that if someone had come to you at the start of the season and said, oh, well, you know, you're going to lose your top two pitchers. You know, one guy's gone for the year, the other guy's out. Maybe till mid-June, you're going to struggle with the closer. We're still trying to identify the closer.
Yep.
What would you have thought? Where would they be? I don't think anyone would have thought this. And according to Tankathon, they've got the easiest remaining schedule in all of baseball because the schedule was so difficult early. So, as you say, 10 games over, I mean, it feels like it's one of those blessed years.
Well, that's me knocking on my dining room table here, Mike. But I will say this. We have talked about this. That coming out of the gate, the Cubs' first month and a half was going to be very difficult, right? You're done with the Dodgers, you're done with San Diego, you're done with San Francisco. We've played them, so we've done a lot of this stuff, you know, where you're playing these tough teams already. You've gone out east and you've played the Mets. There's been a lot of tough teams that you've already played, and you got through it and you're 10 games over right now. I would think, to your point, in spring training, would Craig Counsell would signed up for what he's at right now, I'd say that'd be a big hell yes, right? With all that we're talking about. So it's been very good. You know, the other thing too, now that you got me thinking about this, when you think about this Cubs offense, they are a pain in the backside for these teams because they can do things, you know, they're hitting some home runs. Obviously we've seen that, but man, the thing that just drives teams nuts when the Cubs are getting base hits and walking and on the bases and they're running. Oh, I can just see the steam coming out of the other dugout. It's like, how do we stop this thing, man? Because once they start running, they just run teams right off the field.
Well, that is the facet of this offense that you didn't really have last year that does give them another dimension. And I also think it complements, and maybe even sometimes it gets our focus. But Coom, I think it was almost a trick question. This offense is historically good. So the reason they're so far in front, they're 10 games over 500, isn't it because they have got four guys with 10 or more homers? The length of the lineup has been extended because of Dansby Swanson at the bottom, Kyle Tucker at the top, and PCA emerging doing wherever you put him.
Yes, no doubt. And Nico Horner doing his job. You know, they put him down there. That's another big plus because he is a great game. Like I always talk about, you know, when you're playing and you're in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, when you drive in those big runs to help you win a game, Nico's been great for that and having good at bats late in the ball game also. And the catchers, I mean, catchers are, you know, at the beginning were hitting eighth or ninth. Now Kelly's been so good. He's in the middle of the lineup. Amaya could be, I mean, you know, he very well could be. you know, he's done a great job too offensively. So there's been a here's the big thing. As you're saying that, David, we're talking about different guys. We even mentioned Pete hardly, or I didn't, and he's having, you know, one of the best years in the league. And, you know, hell, he's only been in the league, you know, not even a full year yet. So you're talking about a lot of guys doing really well and doing their part night after night to help them win. You know, Michael Busch is another one. He's hitting right in the middle of the lineup. Guy's got a year and a half in the big leagues. And he's now he's great at first base, not even good, great at first. All this work he's done is paying off. And he's another one that has great at-bats right in the middle of the lineup. So, I mean, there's a lot of pluses on the offensive side that you weren't sure. There were still question marks. Was Michael Busch going to take a step forward or back? Was Pete Carmstrong going to take a step forward or back? They're real young. So that was a legitimate question. You see their work and how much they grind in our game, and it's paid off. It really has, and it's working. There's no doubt.
Ron Coomer on The Score is sponsored by Huntington, home of early pay. More at huntington.com/yourmoney. Ron, I wonder if your thoughts on Seiya Suzuki. You know, it's interesting because we talked about him moving to the DH role and just how difficult that's been for many players. You know, we had a long conversation with Frank Thomas one time just about how different it is and how tough it is. And Seiya didn't complain, didn't say anything. They obviously move him into the outfield, and he hits great as an outfielder, maybe better than as a DH. And he's still able to play the outfield. He did very well in that stint. What are your thoughts on the season he's having?
I think he's having a very good year. I look at him and I'm like, you know, there's still things that he's working on as a hitter, you know, and trying to be more consistent with at bats. But, you know, Mike, that's every hitter. Every hitter goes through this. Every hitter has, you know, that's why there's scouting reports. Everybody's got a whole inner swing. Everybody's got this part that they do the best. So he's still working on that. You can see it at times. But also the guy's one of the league leaders in RBIs. He's, you know, hit some bombs already, and that's great. But the thing that's the most impressive to me is he got thrust into that outfield spot when Happer went down. And all of a sudden, you know, you're like, okay, how is this going to be? And he did a great job. Not even good, great. No issues. He threw some guys out at the plate. He's made good reads in the outfield. I said this to Pat, and I think I said it on air, but I'm really happy for him because that's a tough one when you have a tough year on defense and all of a sudden you're out of your position. You're still with the team and you're DHing, but you're out. You really question yourself. And you know what? Obviously, he did the work to make sure that he maintains his outfield skills, and it showed, and that's a big tip of the cap to just him personally by staying engaged into what the Cubs are doing.
Talk with Ron Coomer, who is also the brand ambassador on Cubs Radio for Yuengling Beer, the new official beer of the Cubs Radio Network, right here on The Score. So, Ron, Matt Shaw comes back before the Marlins series, has 5 hits in 3 games. And I think that it was almost half of the – didn't he have 10 hits up to that point when they sent him down? Clearly a different hitter now, different approach at the plate maybe. What are you seeing in Matt Shaw that is different than the guy who was sent down to Iowa?
Well, I'm really happy for him, first of all. He's another one that – he's a really nice – I don't know if you guys have met Matt yet, but he's a really nice young guy. Two things. One, I believe they've quieted down the leg kick somewhat. They've stood him up and got him a little more athletic. He was really crouched over in turn, so his shoulders were almost pointed towards the second baseman. Very tough way to start your move towards the baseball with your shoulders going that direction instead of right at the pitcher. And then to me, the biggest thing about hitting is, and you know, it sounds, you know, elementary, like Little League, is you got to see the ball, right? You have to be able to see the ball. Well, that's very important in the big leagues in the sense that that means your eyes can't move a lot, and they certainly can't move forward a lot. And his head was moving. He was diving out there with his head towards the pitcher. If you're doing that, you can't hit. I don't care what you do. You're just not going to be able to be consistent as a hitter. That head movement is really quieted down. That's outstanding. You know, and that's allowing him to let the ball get deeper, and that's why he's hitting so many balls to right field. You know, he's got that leg kick and that timing thing, but you can still use the other side of the field, and he's doing it with some power, you know, by driving the ball at least in the gap and down the line for some extra base hits.
Yeah, I think there when he first came up, there was we talked about it. We asked you about it. There was just so much going mm-hmm. on. And yeah, asked you, like, how do you fix that if it goes awry? Like, what do you do? It seemed like you needed sort of a whole plan on how to even go about it. But they've simplified something, and he's hitting a lot better, and he just seems a lot more comfortable at the plate than he did when he first came up.
Well, Mike, what you do is you know, it's like any other thing that you're doing, whether it's business or whatever, you break his swing down into pieces, right? You separate the pieces that you're talking about. So to me, what's most important? You go, okay, this is the most important thing in a swing. Okay, what is that? Well, seeing the ball. If you don't see the ball, you can't hit. So now we got to work on your head position and then your head movement. Okay, let's get that fixed first before we move to the next thing. So if you quiet down his head, now all of a sudden he can see the ball better. He can pick out the pitches. He can recognize pitches earlier. Great. Now leg kick. Okay, let's slow that down and let's work on that. Great. Okay, now we got two things down. Now all of a sudden, and you made him more athletic. You stood him up. Now you got three things. Okay, so now you quiet that down, get him athletic. You know, now all of a sudden, if he's able to do that in a pretty short amount of time, obviously, now all of a sudden, you know, you're hitterish again. You know, here's me making up words again.
Hitterish.
You're hitterish.
Hitterish.
You're hitterish. You know what I mean? And, you know, you're athletic, you're hitterish, you've got a chance now. You're giving yourself a chance in the big leagues to put your A swing on the ball and do some damage.
As someone who is often hitterish, and as a former hitter, Ron, when you look at the Cubs pitching staff, whether it's a starter, a guy maybe like Cade Horton in the last three starts, or maybe a reliever, which Cub pitcher do you think hitters feel most uncomfortable facing?
That's a good question. Let's see. Who would I say is most uncomfortable? Well, we got some guys that are buzzing it in there 100 miles an hour. I promise you this. I don't miss facing that. I'm much happier looking down at that from the booth than standing in there at 100 mile an hour fastball. So just that alone, Keller, Palencia, you know, Horton, some of those guys that are buzzing it in there around 100. Yeah. I'd much rather be on the beach than doing that. just saying that's not, it, all you'd have to do is stand close to the cage and watch, or a bullpen and watch them throw, and you'd be like, yeah, I'm good. I don't need to do that. So I would say of all the guys, that's probably, you know, the guys that are throwing 100 make it very uncomfortable. Like Keller hit the kid the other day late in the game. We're up 6-1 in Miami, I think it was, and the kid got all upset. You know, he wasn't trying to hit anybody. But you get hit with a fastball around 100 miles an hour, yeah, your dander gets up real quick. Trust me, very quick. Yeah.
So you'd rather face Matthew Boyd than Daniel Palencia or somebody?
Well, he's left-handed. That's an absolute yes. Yeah, yeah. I could hit left-handers. Not anymore, but I could before. Yeah.
You could get a hit, right? If you had one at bat, Ron.
No.
No?
Don't confuse it. All no, right. I'm All 58. Right. There's no chance.
Okay.
They would have to hit my bat right now in hopes that they hit my bat. Hitting is, you know, Ted Williams said it's the hardest thing in sport to do. I'm a little biased like he is. I would agree to that. You know, although going over the middle, you know, and having a Brian Urlacher, you know, having you in his sights and you got to catch a pass over the middle, that takes a little courage too. But, I don't know. I wouldn't mind taking batting practice with the wind blowing out at Wrigley. That I would do. Facing, you know, guys throwing big league fastballs now, not so much.
I think batting practice would be a good segment. We should batting practice with Coom.
Yeah, I would be, you know, I could do that. Yeah, that I wouldn't mind doing.
What when we sit here and we start projecting, you know, how you maintain what you've built to this point for the Cubs, what do you think is the most crucial element? Is it solving the bullpen? Is it getting another starter? Are the only answers external, or do you think they've got enough going on that maybe they can resolve whatever needs there are from within the organization?
That's a tough question, Mike, and it's a good question, but a tough one to answer.
Right.
In the sense that because the baseball season is so long and there's so many games, you know that there's going to be more bumps in the road coming up. There's also going to be guys, like we've talked about, that take a step forward, too. I thought Daniel Palencia made a huge step forward in game three of that series. He blew a save in the first game of that series. He threw a bad slider, gave up the double with two outs, and then things got away from him, and he gives up the two runs. Then he comes back. He doesn't throw any sliders and throws 100 miles an hour and says, go ahead and hit it. I'll take my chances with my 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and he gets a save. I thought that was very, very good for him. That he, you know, jumped right back on the horse in the same situation and got it done. I would say if everything stays the same, the bullpen situation and getting that, you know, under control and just, you know, where you, the roles by the second half really get defined and guys are doing their job. You know, I've never been a bullpen guy. You know, it seems that that is the one thing that they all have talked about through the years is I like having a defined role. I think that's very difficult. I know Counts does not like that. He talks about guys, you're just get outs. All I want you to do is just get outs. Doesn't matter what part of the game. We need 27 of them. Just get outs. So, but I know the bullpen guys like that idea of having a role. The bullpen, it always comes down to pitching at the end of the year. The teams that pitch it well go to October. The teams that don't end up coming home for the most part.
Great stuff, Coom. Enjoy your weekend off.
Thanks,
Zach,
Ron.
Is filling in for you. I hope you come back rested and ready to go next week.
I will, and I just want to say thanks to you guys. Last weekend we had our event with Yuengling, and I appreciate you guys plugging it all week long. You made a big impact. We had a lot of score people out there last Friday, so thank you very much. It's really nice you guys do that.
Bless you, Ron. We love you dearly. Yep.
Take care, Coom.
Have a great weekend, boys. Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Line drive, smoke to right center field. Sanchez goes back. This one's over his head. Bounces on the track and over the wall for an automatic double. Nice piece of hitting for Matt Shaw. One out double.
The runner goes. The pitch outside. Throw to second. Head first slide. Safe at second base. Matt Shaw stole that one more on Bender than he did on the throw by Ramirez. Tucker hits a liner. Base hit left field. Shaw around third. He's gonna score. Cubs lead 2-1. Cubs get a break.
What a break it was. 2-1 lead off of an error by the guy you're scared of him because he can hit the ball over the fence, Kyle Stowers. But that time he helped out the Cubs, and that's why the Cubs are able to take 2 out of 3 from the Marlins for the second time in about 10 days. And that's how the Cubs are getting through this 21-game stretch in which they will not play a team with a record over 500. They're 7-2 to start that stretch off. I say they need to go 15-6 to make their dominance be known. The next series, the biggest series they've faced in the stretch so far, because it's a team that people expected to challenge for the NL Central crown in the Cincinnati Reds. That series is on the road. Win 2 out of 3, you're good with that. Although Hunter Green is the first man up against Matt Boyd coming up tomorrow after a day off today. You are listening to Raheemian Harris. Layla's got the day off. Anthony Heron is in studio.
Well, Layla's got the show off. She's going to be a busy lady tonight.
Okay, you're right.
She got the show off.
Right, just the show off. She will be
putting in that work this evening.
She'll be back on. Tune in tonight for the first ever Chicago Sky broadcast right here on 670 The Score as they host the New York Liberty at Wintrust Arena. Our own Layla Raheemi, she'll be on the call doing color alongside play-by-play, Kylan Mills, and Alyssa Bergamini for the game. Coverage beginning at 6:45 on The Score and the Odyssey app. But baseball-wise, the Cubs have to be feeling really good about the way things have gone against the Marlins after 6 against them. And, of course, the brutal crosstown sweep of the Chicago White Sox. But, Ant, this team is rolling. And I know it's bad competition. It's a couple of last-place teams. But you still have to beat them because you know other teams are going to beat them. And I'll say this. Matt Shaw, after getting 10 hits before being sent down, Triple-A over 18 games. He's played 3 games since he's been back. He's got half his hit total, 5-4-11. And crucial moments, not just the doubles that he's hit, including one that would have been an RBI double to win the game in game one. Of course, the Marlins walked that game off. But then in the series finale, the rubber game, he's able to draw a leadoff walk, then steal a bag, and then score on a Kyle Tucker base hit because Kyle Stowers couldn't get the job done in left field.
Matt Shaw's an athlete. He is. I covered his entire baseball career when he was at Maryland, just in my work with the Big Ten Network and Big Ten Radio. Got to talk to him a bunch several times during that time of his career. Also, as he became the Big Ten Player of the Year before he left Maryland baseball. And as an infielder, super athletic and has a flair for the dramatic. And I feel like we're starting to get more of a sense for that, walk-off bombs when he got sent down to the minors. But now here in some critical moments and kind of crunch time, late game sort of leverage situations, he's able to come up not only with kind of some big swinging hits, because for a guy who's, for baseball standards, I wouldn't call him diminutive in stature, but certainly some of these guys, like the Cubs got some long builds in the lineup right now. Matt Shaw more stocky in his build, but he's got power. I mean, he can drive the ball well over 500 feet when he really gets a hold of it. But he's not just a guy who's able to swing freely. He's also, as a defender, he's got a good nifty glove, and we've seen some of that on display here. Not the biggest arm after he plants himself, but he can get it there to be able to get a runner out, throw into first. But his ability to be able to kind of contort his body on some of these snags that he makes as an infielder. He was a shortstop at a couple of different of the infield positions, but largely a shortstop during his Maryland career. And he's just got an ability to pluck the ball and quickly transition into a throwing posture. And he's, you know, transitioning what we saw from him in college and now in a very small sample size and in short fashion, starting to see him realize that potential here with the Cubs. It's fun to watch that because, you know, we've talked about it before. When you see someone as a younger player and you watch them in their infancy and they start to now as they've kind of come up through the ranks and now at the professional level, starting to realize some of that potential. It's just cool to see someone as they've ascended to the point they're at right now. But then there's always that stumbling block. And he's got several players, several teammates right now who he can sort of lean on. PCA, most recently, last year, went through some of his ups and downs. A few years ago, Ian Happ, riding that wave, going through some ups and downs before he became a consistent performer at the major league level, multi-time gold glover and all-star and all these other things. So Matt Shaw is hopefully on that trajectory, but he's got a lot of guys he can lean on and look to as he's kind of walking this path he's in.
Yeah, we talked to Ian Happ on Tuesday, and he talked about that process of coming up to the big leagues, being sent down, and then coming back with more confidence, another chance, and feeling more comfortable in your second time around. He certainly has looked supremely comfortable in his time since he's been back in those three games, coming up with multi-hit games. And it actually extends a hitting streak from when he was down before. He had gotten hits in his last couple of games. So he's got a modest five-game hitting streak right now, does Matt Shaw. But it's big because we've been talking about third base as this kind of black hole, and not just a black hole for the Cubs, but it's been a position where there's been a dearth of power and normalized talent throughout the league. And now if that becomes, let alone an average position, but a plus position for the Cubs, and you've got Matt Shaw who can hit in your nine hole from top to bottom, one through nine, this lineup looks like one of, if not, you can make a case for it, the most dangerous lineup in baseball based on what they've been able to do. And I really love the idea that the Cubs now have Matt Shaw in a position where they may not have to go out and get help at third base. Because that's the thing that everyone was kind of leaning into is this idea that if Matt Shaw comes back and he doesn't get the job done, they're going to have to go out and shop for a third baseman to help make this playoff push, not just to get to the playoffs, but to make a run once you get there.
And what I love is that now you see the ball club as a whole putting themselves in position where it's still a, I guess, quote-unquote smart money approach the Cubs have attempted to make. They haven't just gone all in and kind of splashed the pot to put one of these Mets or even Red Sox style rosters together with the overall just financial investment position by position. But they've certainly acquired some talent, some prove it deals like Kyle Tucker, like we've seen them doing with certain guys in recent years. But with the way the squad is performing and leading this division, because last year I tried to make the case going into last season where there was a level of disappointment about the Cubs maybe not going a little bit further with the financial expenditures. So, well, look at this division, though. Like, who's going to run away from the Cubs in this division?
How'd that work out?
And then the division ran away from the Cubs. And it didn't matter that they had spent kind of smart money because it wasn't enough. And it showed that they weren't the lineup, at least last season, that they thought they would have been. Now, this season, I would say they continue to spend smart money. They still haven't sort of pushed all the chips in, but because of their performance. This is really the formula that the Cubs have been hoping for, is that you would get a bunch of guys playing at least two, if not beyond, the back of the baseball card, and it all coalescing at the same time. How sustainable is this? That, to me, is worthy of question, because how long are you going to get Kyle Tucker in a contract year, playing at an MVP caliber? And, yeah, it was a small dip and a slump. Now, last couple of games, he's back to being Kyle Tucker. PCA looking like somebody who, why would you wait another 4 years to pay him? Just pay him like the MVP right now, which, all right, let's slow down a little bit.
Whoa, not like the MVP. We just want to pay him a nice nine-figure deal, which keeps him under club control through his arbitration years, let's say plus two. And now you've got a guy for close to a decade.
Why not do that 2 years from now?
2 years from now is going to be more expensive. That's why. And also, there's going to be a lockout. Just get him under contract.
Because, hurry up.
If you're already,
it's just different than we normally operate in baseball, I guess, is where my mind is at with it.
Not different than some teams, but that's what small market teams do. They get their guys up and they pay them to make sure they can keep them longer, because If you don't, then you end up having to trade them earlier because you're not going to be able to re-sign them as free agents.
But what we do know is PCA is going to be a member of the Cubs for the next four seasons. Like, regardless of what they're paying him, they got him.
And let me tell you something. If they do that and he's an all-star every year and he's in the MVP conversation level and win an MVP, and then they can't keep him past the 4 years because they don't want to pay the $40 million per whatever it is, I'm going to say you could have just signed him way back when for way less than that.
Right. I think it's fair.
And there's been nothing that the Cubs have done to this point that leads you to believe they would sign somebody to a contract more than what their highest paid contract has been so far.
Hey, but on the sliding scale, there's urgency with Kyle Tucker.
Oh, no. There's
a different type of urgency with Pete Crow Armstrong.
Two different conversations.
But if we agree the Cubs aren't going to spend huge on both of them right now, then to me, focus on paying Tucker. Focus on keeping Kyle Tucker around. Yeah. And then you got a couple of years at least to figure out what's happening with Pete Crow Armstrong. Because I don't think he's going to kind of, you know, take some kind of dip that's extended. He looks like an excellent player. But I wouldn't mind watching him prove it for another season or two to see if he's not going on this Luis Robert path, or I'm blanking on the center fielder from a couple of years ago that was like an all-star through the first half of the season.
David Eckstein.
Right. It is not David Eckstein. No, I can guarantee
no,
it's not.
And I can't believe I'm blanking on his name. For the Cubs, but he was an all-star the first half of the season. And then he, unfortunately, before they
you
put the
Cody
nets
Bellinger?
Up. No.
Oh.
Before they put the nets up, he hit a kid with a ball in the front row. And he wept about it like we all did. And then he never was the same after
thanks?
That. I'm going to look his name up in a moment. But my point is, we have seen flashes of brilliance. I would like to see, just like some of the examples on the South side, where whether it's flashes of brilliance at the minor league level or at the major league level early, if you're going to pay someone like a real star of the sport, I would like to see them prove they're a star of the sport for a little bit longer.
It's, okay, you don't want to pay people. That's fine. We're broadcasting
I
want to
live pay Kyle Tucker.
From the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. That's the voice of Anthony Heron. He's in for Leila Rahimi as we talk about the Cubs and their big win, 2-1 win, which proves a couple of things on a couple of different fronts. Here's why it was such an encouraging series deciding win.
What does it prove, Marshall?
It proves that they can win a game 2-1, which has not, that's been in doubt. That's been in doubt. Here, let me give you some numbers. 27-6. You know what that is? That's the Cubs' record this season when they score four runs or more. 27-6. That's good, right?
Yeah, it's impressive.
Score four runs, you're probably going to win.
Right, you better.
You're probably going to win. Meanwhile, that win yesterday, they played 16 games a season, the Cubs have, in which they've scored three runs or less. Out of those 16 games, how many do you think they've won?
16 games, won 9.
How about 3?
Oh.
And yesterday was the third game. you have to be
able
to win.
I feel like I got force punched right there.
Well,
it's a lot less than I thought it was going
to
be.
I'm trying to explain to you why it's important that this 2-1 game happen. It's important because to win a game, even though it was against a bad Marlins team, 2-1 shows that you have the capability of doing that. And when you're in a 2-1 game, you know what's really important? The bullpen.
Right.
They've got to be able to hold on to a lead, or at least keep the game close enough so that you can win the game late. And last night we saw Daniel Palencia come in and get the save. And I'm on the fence on this. I know that's not my job. I'm supposed to have a firm opinion. I wanted Brad Keller in the ninth inning, but he was used earlier, and it appears they're going to go with the guy with the best quote-unquote stuff and Daniel Palencia. But, Ant, you saw the ninth inning yesterday.
Mm.
Daniel Palencia, he didn't blow people away, did he? He just kind of got three outs.
Right. Now, stuff is fantastic. He throws the ball real hard, which I find impressive. You know, sometimes they hit it real hard coming right back at
him,
too.
Well, you know, the velocity leads into
right,
that.
Right, right. Yeah, there's a force, a reaction, an action, and everything
physics.
Else. Yeah, yeah. I didn't get an A in physics, but yes, there's some physics involved in that when you actually make contact with the ball. But it's got impressive velocity.
Yeah, but here's the thing. For Daniel Palencia, that was his second save opportunity in a matter of 3 days. The first save, he blew, as the Marlins were able to walk that off. This time, he gets the save. I don't know what the confidence level is in him in terms of how Craig Counsell views him, except for he has the most confidence of him out of everyone else in that bullpen right now to close games. And I don't know what that means when you look at the rest of the bullpen, they're going to need more arms. It's going to be a while. We heard from Jed Hoyer just the other day on this very radio program when he joined Mullion Hall talking about the fact that a trade for external help bullpen-wise probably isn't going to come until closer to the trade deadline. And so they're kind of stuck with what they have. So if they can find a way to win games like the one they won yesterday, 2-1, it's beyond a sign of encouragement. It's really a step in growth in that this bullpen and this team finds a way to get it done, even if it may not be pretty. They have plenty of questions that need to be answered between now and the end of the season. But for right now, they're supposed to just put as much distance as possible between themselves and everybody else in their division. Enter the Cincinnati Reds for 3 on the road. Hunter Green, win game 1 with Boyd on the mound. And maybe you've got a chance to win yet another series and get closer to what I said. They should be in this 21-game stretch against teams under 500, and that's 15-6. You go 15-6, people be like, I don't care how bad the competition was. You won 15 out of 21 games.
The name I was blanking on earlier, thank you, text line, Albert Almora. That's who I was trying to think of. Handsome young lad. Fantastic first half of the season in 2018. Actually didn't end up making the All-Star game. He was All-Star caliber through the first half of that season, didn't end up getting voted into that All-Star game, but he was one of those guys who for a while there was a whole lot of buzz around town about that Cubs young center fielder, all the acrobatic grabs and plays he was making all over the place, how he upgraded the Cubs defense, and he was batting well over 300 that season, and he fizzled. And, you know, who knows, you know, what exactly it was. Maybe it was, you know, partly when, because it seemed to me, in my memory at least, I've kind of built it up in my brain as there was this moment where he hits a foul ball down, I think it was down the third base line, and he hits some young fan, I think it was a young girl, and he just kind of, you know, crumpled like we all did. And that was a key moment in baseball, finally putting nets up and making it a rule that all baseball stadiums would have nets up down each baseline. And kind of from that moment, it felt like that was kind of a, and maybe it's just this Hollywood thing in my head that I've built that as the dividing line for Albert Almora. But from that moment, at least for me, that was when he took a dip in his Cubs career. Still playing professional baseball, but he wasn't the same after that first half of the season where it looked like he was the future of center field for the Cubs. So PCA, certainly a more highly regarded prospect than Albert Almora was, but there was a fervor about whatever it was like six, seven years ago now where Almora seemed to be that next center field star until he wasn't. I just, you know, I want a little more extended sample size before I say PCA is a definitive star, stud, MVP, pay him like one of the greats in the sport. So let me see it for a year or two.
Albert Almora is not putting up PCA numbers. I want to point that out. I
think that's true.
And that it goes back not just to the first half of this season, but to the back half of last season. But back to Matt Shaw real quick, because I just want to really reiterate. He is the key going forward. If he continues to hit, that lineup 1-9, there's no holes in the lineup. There's no holes in the lineup. Here's what Craig Counsell had to say post-game yesterday about Shaw, not just hitting, but getting extra base hits.
I think that's Matt Shaw. I mean, I think that's, you know, we didn't see an extra base hit to the opposite field the first 3 weeks. And now we've seen 3 already. So I think that's what Matt... That's what you expect Matt to do. That's what Matt's good at doing. And so, you know, that's he's just in a better place, you know, from that result, whether it's caught or not, you know, whatever. But it's the ball's being hit the right way for what he's good at.
What Craig Counsell saw in this 3-game series against the Marlins, which, again, Matt Shaw 5-11, extra base hits, stolen base, game-winning runs scored. He saw the guy that he put 5 in the lineup on opening day. There's a reason he put him batting 5th in Japan against the Dodgers, because he thought, this is the guy that I will have. It wasn't that guy at the start of the season, but it very may well be that guy now.
And to your observation about the team as a whole real quick, what I love about what they're doing right now, winning these close games, you think back to last year and the comments that Jed Hoyer was making about basically having no comfortable victories. That matters so much for this team right now when you compare it with last year, because a lot of these same guys were playing all those games close and into the ninth inning last season. Now, a very similar lineup has added so much power and driving the ball over the fence so consistently. And so the comfortable victories that we're accustomed to this year, if there's some metamorphosis where it can be combined with the close wins from last year and the big comfortable wins from this year and Jets' formula seems to be taking shape because they've gotten really good this season at the thing they weren't really good at last year as an offense.
3-13 in games in which they score three runs or less. We'll see if that record improves or if they just keep scoring so many runs, it doesn't even matter. That's what we're keeping an eye on.
Hey, Jed, how are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Oh, we're having fun. You know, it's been a really fun season. It's been great to watch your team and how good the offense has been. And you know, we sit here and go over it and you know, enjoy all the results. The weekend was great, and you know, last night was rough. So you look at that, and the question I guess we should start with is, who's the closer tonight? How does that work?
Yeah, you know, I think that's probably what happens so often at bullpens. I feel like we had gotten into a pretty good groove, sort of like Palencia and Keller and Hodge and the backs, the two lefties have been throwing really well. And I feel like that formula has been working well for us. And obviously Porter, you know, went down with an oblique injury. We're hopeful it's not too serious, but, you know, certainly we can't play shorthanded, you know, back there. And so now we have to figure that out again. So I think that's just the nature of how it's going to be. We're going to have guys step up. We're going to candidly need some more innings out of our starters. We, you know, last night we were asking for 4 1/3 scoreless out of our bullpen, and you know, we almost got there, but not quite. But we're going to need to have these guys get into the sixth, maybe in the seventh, you know, in order to rest these guys a little bit. Otherwise they get overtaxed. But, you know, I think, you know, Brad Keller's been throwing the ball well. Really, Daniel has been almost flawless until last night. So, you know, we've had guys throwing the ball well. We just need more guys to step up, and hopefully Porter's not injured for too long.
Him going on the injured list, Jed, obviously not a good move or not good news. Ryan Pressly being ineffective has certainly been something that wasn't necessarily expected. Daniel Plensy's been good. You mentioned Keller, Julian Merriweather. We could go through the list, but I do wonder, how does your approach change, if it does, based on the ineffectiveness or the injury, about needing to seek outside help, outside the organization? And when does that start in earnest?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think there's no question that the bullpen is going to be aided by outside help, whether that's, you know, big transactions or small. You know, I think there's no question we're going to continue to add guys. And, you know, Pomerantz is a example. You know, we added him from Seattle, just like we did with Tyson Miller a year ago. And you just got to keep churning through relievers. I think as far as, like, you know, larger transactions, that doesn't really start probably until, I mean, mid to late June at the earliest. This is the nature of it. And I think when you look around baseball now, you know, there's a lot of teams that are in the, you know, that believe they're in the race, that feel like they have a chance. You know, that's one area that baseball is a little different right now than it has been in other years, where, you know, the sellers are less obvious. And so I do think that thinking about big external transactions, that's really call at least a month away, if not more. And so I think we got to focus on smaller transactions, and we got to focus on getting our guys healthy and having our own guys be effective.
I'm curious, do you know what you will be looking for in a month? In other words, you know, we see that that you've brought back Matt Shaw. He's up. He had a couple hits. There's been some changes to the way that he does hit. The leg kick was it wasn't going to his waist as he was batting yesterday. Are you waiting to see if he answers the third base issue before you get to the trade deadline, or are you confident that you can solve that and that's not one of the things you'll be looking for?
Yeah. Well, certainly that's why we brought him back up. You know, he was, you know, making good adjustments in Iowa. Obviously you referenced, like, you know, having the leg kick be a little bit more controlled. And, you know, the hope certainly going into the season was that he would be able to handle that job. And that's the hope now. You know, last year PCA got sent down, almost got sent down multiple times. If you think about his struggles in the first half, and then he played great in the second half. So it's hard to break into the big leagues now. And obviously Matt had his struggles. And, you know, the hope is that he starts to get acclimated and figure it out. Because certainly I think our best lineup, you know, would be with him at third base. And as far as, like at the deadline, I mean, I certainly, you know, the pitching side is probably more obvious. area to add than the position playing side. You know, obviously injuries and things will happen and that could change, but I think that'd be fairly obvious to look at and say right now, you know, our position playing group has been really good, really consistent. I think our at-bats from top to bottom have been excellent. So I think that's really been the strength of our team so far, and hopefully it continues.
Talking with Cubs team president Jed Hoyer. Jed, brought to you by Lurie's Children's Hospital, ranked the number one children's hospital in Illinois by the U.S. News and World Report, located at 225 East Chicago Avenue in downtown Chicago. All right, Jed, you've been here long enough to have been part of the conversation and the evolution of the leadoff position back when Kyle Schwarber was tried there and the pros and cons of that and what was the ideal leadoff spot at that point in Major League Baseball. Here we are, PCA has emerged in Ian Happ's absence as a guy who might be a viable option at the top of the order. He's hit everything. WAR says he's the best player in the National League right now. How does that conversation go as Ian Happ gets ready to come back, rejoin an offense that is clicking on all cylinders, and yet you have a PCA, a guy who has a weekend, and I know that yesterday wasn't his best day, but yeah, you could make the argument that he's your ideal leadoff hitter.
I think he can definitely do that job, for sure. I mean, I think we have a couple really good options. I think Ian did a great job in that spot. He sees so many pitches. He gets on base. I think when you have him and Tucker, you know, hitting 1-2, there's so much traffic on the bases for the other guys. I think it really helps. And then with Pete, you know, Pete's a different style of hitter. It's just he's dangerous right away. You know, the way he's hitting power, and obviously, you know, if he gets on base, he creates havoc. So I think we have two really good options, and you know, unclear how we'll go going forward. You know, my guess is that Ian will start leading off again, and Pete will probably not go quite as far down in the order. But, you know, obviously Craig and I will talk about that. But I think that the position has evolved. I mean, you think about, you know, honestly, how much criticism we got for trying, you know, Kyle Schwarber in that role. I remember in Boston, we got a lot of criticism for putting Kevin Youkilis in that role, and people thought that was kind of crazy. And I do think that now, you know, Shohei Ohtani, you know, is leading off, and it's not a surprise to anyone that you would put a huge power hitter in. This is a guy that's dangerous at the top of the lineup. And Schwarber's not doing it this year, but, you know, he did it in the past with Philly. So, you know, certainly I think to myself, if you're a pitcher, you know, starting off a game and, you know, you're worried about your first pitch of the game getting hit for a homer. I mean, it's unsettling. And so I do think that that's, you know, getting your best hitters the most at-bats and also having some fear in the opposing pitcher right away. I think there's real value in that.
You know, speaking of value, it seems like the catcher position is doing as well as any out there, certainly any in the major leagues. And Amaya, again, yesterday has a good game, and Carson Kelly. I mean, the way that you've resolved that issue has been pretty extraordinary. Is it the development of Amaya? What is the bigger story in your mind, or Carson Kelly kind of hitting anything that moves?
Yeah, you know, the first half of last year, like when we struggled offensively, a big part of that struggle was that, you know, Yan Gomes was struggling and Amaya was struggling. So we were getting, you know, no offensive production out of that spot. The second half, when we played better last year, Miguel Amaya played really well, and he's really, really continued that. And obviously Carson has been fantastic. And I really do believe that you know, they make each other better. Yeah, you know, I'm a big believer that, I mean, that's a hard physical position. And I think if you can roughly split that job and keep both guys sort of rested, I think it really makes both guys better. I think when you start, you know, you watch catchers wear down with the heat or wear down playing 3-4 days in a row. And, you know, with health, hopefully those guys can not have to do that. And therefore they're both, you know, a little bit fresher. But yeah, I think both guys make each other better. It's been a really good, you know, position for us. Obviously those guys have both been outstanding, and hopefully we can keep that up. And I would say, I don't think that's that much different than, you know, we talked about the bullpen is, you know, when starters are going deep in the game and the relievers are rested, they often look better. And I think that, like, that's part of our job is to have enough depth to not wear guys down. And that's no different in the bullpen than it is a catcher.
Based on his first two appearances, how much are you counting on Cade Horton to contribute to the major league team this season?
Well, right now he needs to contribute. I mean, you know, obviously with Steele's out for the year and Shota's down, Saad's down. So, you know, we need those contributions. I think he was at a point where he was ready. you know. We felt like, you know, obviously there's always things you can work on in the minors and like little improvements, but you know, we'd had those conversations even before the injury to Shota, where like, hey, if we need a start, you know, there's no reason Cade isn't the guy at this point. So he's ready. He's going to continue to improve in the big leagues, but yeah, we need his contributions right now. I think he's showed, you know, real poise in his first two starts. I don't think those are easy outings going, you know, in New York, you know, against a really good offense. And then obviously, you know, crosstown, you know, series Friday afternoon game. So he's pitched in two, you know, really great environments. And I think he's handled himself really well. And I think he'll continue to get better.
You know, it's funny. It's not funny. You got to be aware of his innings, right? You got to be aware. Now, these are conversations that people need to have much later in the season. But you look at a lot of different guys and you're kind of, well, you know, where's the back of the baseball card? And it isn't impacting how they're pitching right now, but it's just something that you will be aware of as you inch ever closer to the end of the season.
For sure. Yeah, I think, you know, that's, I mean, kind of baseball in this era, that, you know, you don't have, you're not going to have three, four guys going 180 to 200 innings and sort of making your life easy that way, right? Like you're going to have to, you know, go 10, 12 deep in your starting rotation in order to get through it. You know, guys are going to need breaks. They're not going to be able to cover 180 to 200 innings. And so that is a challenge. It's just a different puzzle to put together than it was, you know, not that long ago when you felt like you could get these big blocks of innings and, you know, your bullpen was rested because you're getting seven innings out of your starter. So yeah, you know, that's a totally valid concern. I think that, you know, a lot of these guys are throwing really well, but we do have to be aware that there may be a time in the season where they need a break, or there may be a time in the season where they you know, decline a little bit. And, you know, hopefully we can get, you know, a side back for the second half, get Shota back here. And then obviously, like, you know, like we said earlier, I think that, you know, the external market will be something we have to look at.
One of the most fun stories in Chicago and throughout Major League Baseball this season has been the emergence of Pete Crow Armstrong as a star and a guy who is so much fun to watch. Earlier this season, there were reports that you guys approached him about a contract extension that didn't go anywhere. Jed, I just wonder, in light of what's happened in terms of his emergence, are those talks ongoing? Are those things you want to revisit, or is that something that's tabled until the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, so as far as the report, yeah, we did approach Pete. I mean, I think we think the world of him, and he's just a, you know, there's so many things to like about the way, not only the way he plays the game, but how he is as a teammate and how he interacts as a young player. And so, you know, we'd love to sign him long term. Obviously, those conversations in season are delicate, and it's, you know, something that, you know, I'm sure at some point we will revisit. But right now we're just, you know, letting him focus on the season, and you know, if there are any conversations, I think we'll just kind of keep those in house. You know, frankly, having that get out when it did, it wasn't ideal. You know, we got through it, but we like to keep those things in house. But yeah, he's been remarkable. I mean, just such a great start to the season. And you brought up the leadoff, you know, position, but just in general, the idea of this, like, right now, I mean, he's beating you in so many different ways. His defense is just incredible. You know, obviously he can beat you with power right now. If he hits a single, he can beat you with his legs on the bases. He just, you know, in a lot of ways, I say this, like, you know, when Javi was sort of at his sort of prime in like 2018 or so, there's a lot of ways he can help you win a game on a given night. It might be with his glove. It might be with, you know, great base running. It might be with power. But he does a lot of things on the field that you can't teach, a lot of things that don't even show up in the box score. And, yeah, this is a lot of ways he can help you win games, and he's done that a lot this year.
You know, I mean, as long as we're talking about reports that were out there, there's a report that Ryan Pressly was kind of guaranteed the fact that he'd be the closer, and that's what coaxed him to come here. And he had a no-trade clause, and he agreed to come here in part because he wanted to be the closer. Now, I know his knee was drained not that long ago. Where are you with him, and how is he doing, and has his role shifted because of the knee issue?
No, I mean, I think his role has shifted with performance. I think that the way you know, the way Porter was throwing and Keller and Palencia. And, you know, obviously he, you know, he had a hiccup. And, you know, so, I mean, I thought he threw the ball really well last night. He's been good last couple of times out. But, you know, I think, you know, sort of having him out of the ninth inning for a bit and working on stuff, it's just that role is really hard if you're whether struggling with an injury or struggling with command or the use of a pitch. You know, the game's on the line when you're in the game. And right. So I think taking him out of the pressure of the ninth and letting him work on some things made sense. And, you know, listen, we, you know, he's been, like I said, last couple of times out, he's been good. And my hope is that he can just continue to improve and you know, miss a few more bats as he does that. And I think that's, he'll help us contribute, whether it's closing or whether it's seventh, eighth inning. He can be a big part of our group back there.
How big is tonight's start for Jameson Taillon, given the home run balls that he surrendered in his last two starts?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, JMO's, you know, he's had some really good starts this year, but obviously, yeah, he's certainly been bitten by home runs, and you know, the ability to keep the ball in the ballpark is important, and length isn't really important for us right now. You know, I think we've had some short starts here, and as those have happened, it's just accumulated wear and tear on the bullpen. So my hope is they can give us some really good innings tonight, and we can go out and swing the bats.
Jed, who's been the bigger positive story or the bigger surprise to you, Matthew Boyd or Colin Ray? Did you expect the contributions both guys have made?
Yeah, I mean, both guys have been fantastic, and really, this just kind of pros. I mean, they just go out there and, you know, they're prepared. They have multiple weapons to get guys out. So you feel like it's not, you know, there's a lot of tricks, a lot of ways they can do it. It feels like if, you know, they've run into a little trouble early, they don't falter. So yeah, it's been really, both guys have been excellent for us. And I mean, we talked about this when Steele, you know, got hurt, that like, that's just, you know, you're bummed out about it for a day, but you have to just move on and you have to have kind of the next guy up. And I mean, I can't imagine anyone doing a better job of that than Colin has done for us. You know, he stepped up incredibly well, and you know what Cade has done, you know, stepping in for Shota has been great too. So yeah, this is no real, and not time for being sad about it. You got to have guys step up, and so far those guys have done a great job of that.
Pretty emotional week for Moises Ballesteros, who had two hits last night, got his first major league hit last week. A lot of emotion. I think he brought it to the plate sometimes, Jed. He looked like he was maybe a little over anxious, but boy, can he hit, and he's making contact. When Ian Happ comes back, could that be as early as tonight, and will Moises Ballesteros be going back to Iowa?
Yeah, Ian's going to be active tonight, and Moises is going to go back, but I think, you know, obviously a little bit over anxious at times. You said it well. You know, I think it's natural given his age and first time in the big leagues, home stadium, you know, home crowd. But I will say he can really hit. I mean, it's a fun bat. He's got power. He's got, you know, he makes contact, really pretty swing. And he's a guy that's going to have a lot of success in the big leagues. And I think in a way, that's sort of a perfect way to you know, get his feet wet. He knew it was going to be a short stay. You know, we were with Ian, we knew he wasn't a long stay in the IL. We just couldn't play shorthanded for that long. And we wanted to be, you know, exercise caution. So he knew it was a short stay. And I think that sometimes that's kind of a nice thing, right? Where even if he, you know, had the greatest 3 or 4 days of his life, he was going to go back to the minor. So it lets him relax and enjoy it and soak it in. And hopefully next time he comes up, he's, you know, that experience really benefits him.
Great stuff, Jed. Thank you a ton. Great catching up with you. It's been really fun to watch you guys this year.
Thanks, Jed.
I appreciate it, guys. Take care. See ya.
That is Jed Hoyer. There's the man, Cubs president.
Fun stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.